and kind of unofficially celebrate the 4th and our independence as well. So, anyway, all right. Have your Bibles, your King James Bible. Open up to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. So. Read the first 8 verses. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and when they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even on the Sabbath day. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given us. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we just thank you for the many blessings. We still think of Abby and her baby Andrew, Lord, and just the blessings that you've given us each and every day. And we thank you for all the little children that we have, Father, Lord. We thank you for them, that you just blessed us with them, Lord. Father, we do pray for this message, Lord. We pray for I just pray that you'll help me, Lord, as I deliver it. Help it to be a blessing and encouragement to your people. I just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We find here Jesus with his disciples traveling on the Sabbath day. According to my understanding, according to the law, there were strict rules as to what how far somebody could even travel on the Sabbath day. And I've heard this by with different Bible teachers and different preachers that sometimes they would even carry a chair around because it could only take so many steps, and then they'd have to stop and sit down and rest for a period of time. That way they weren't working. But then again, they're carrying a chair. So I don't know. But the Pharisees here saw Jesus with his disciples traveling through a cornfield. And they stopped Jesus and they asked him. They said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have ye not read? And just pause there for a second. A leader, so long as they aren't doing anything wrong, a leader will defend and protect his men. And we see that this here with Jesus. Your disciples, they're accusing the disciples. And Jesus steps in front of them and says, Whoa, no. Have you not read? One day, we're going to be standing before the Lord, and the accuser is going to say, Have you not seen all of what he's done? And he's going to step forward. He's going to say, You see my blood? Jesus steps forth and says unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was and hungered, and they were with him? According to the law at that time, if a hungry traveler was passing through a field, they were permitted to take with their hand, whether it was corn or wheat or whatever it was, to sustain themselves as they traveled. The accusation wasn't that they were stealing, because according to the law, they weren't stealing. In fact, I was reading a commentator, and they said that even to this day, the writing of this book, if you go into that part of the world in the Middle East, in Israel, and if there's fields, you can still walk through and break something off, and it's not considered stealing. Deuteronomy 24:25 explains this law. I'm just going to read it here. Deuteronomy 24:25 states, there's not 25. I also wrote the wrong passage down because there is not a Deuteronomy 24:25. But I wrote the wrong something down wrong. But what it states is that they can take an ear of corn by the hand, but not with a sickle. So the idea behind that is you're not going out harvesting somebody else's land. You're not going out and taking off somebody else's hard work, harvesting it in, and now you're going to sell it, or you're going to provide for your family, or you're going to benefit yourself in some way, other than the fact that you can walk through and you can get provision. Now, that does take a little bit of work. I mean, you got to go, you actually have to get up and go to the field. You have to go and grab something with your hand. I bring that up because this is an example of how people talk about the poor and everything. Well, even the poor people had a way to provide, if not daily, for themselves daily, but they still had to get up and go do it. Nobody was going to go up and gather for them and hand it to them. They still had to get up and go, and they could get a day, they could eat that day. So at the base of it, there was no question. Theft was not in question here. It all revolved around the Sabbath day and when they were doing the action. So the Jews have a book called the Book of Jubilee, and it lists out the punishments of what work was considered and the punishment for it. So according to the Book of Jubilee, the punishment for breaking the Sabbath day was death. They took it very seriously. And a list of just this is just a small list of some of the things they had in there. You couldn't light a fire. You couldn't go on a journey. Of course, you couldn't farm. You couldn't catch fish. You couldn't make war. Well, that's interesting because Israel's in a perpetual war right now. Well, not just right now. They've been in a perpetual war. You can't just stop combat operations every seventh day and say, well, we're not fighting today. Because, I mean, they would leave themselves vulnerable. They'd lose momentum. And the enemy could do all kinds of unspeakable things. But according to this, the law of Jubilee, in the Book of Jubilee, they couldn't do those things. And so according to their own law, they couldn't be traveling, but yet the Pharisees were out there to accuse the disciples as they journeyed. And so even within their own system of laws and rules and trying to trip up Jesus and his disciples, they themselves were guilty of the very things they were trying to hold other people accountable to. And breaking of the law of the Sabbath was death. the Pharisees made it to a point where it was more work not to work than it was to work. And that's what the law does. It becomes a burden to the people. Jesus, as we stated before, he stepped up in front of his disciples. He defended his men. And he said, "Have you not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests." So the showbread was a sacrificial, it was a symbolic sacrificial bread, and it would be changed out every week. And after it got changed out, the priests could eat it, but no one else. But David was fleeing with his mighty men from Saul, and they were hungered. And they were weak, and frankly, they were unclean. And yet, they were still permitted to come in, and the priest still gave them the showbread and said, "Eat, nourish yourself." And they ate. He goes on, "Have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" Like, how are the priests guilty of the Sabbath? Well, on the Sabbath, they had to kindle fire. They had to make preparation for the sacrifice. I know many people here have hunted. I raised rabbits for a little bit. And that's an animal about this big. And the process to go through and the time it took me. Now, I'm sure some people could probably do it quickly, but I was raised a city slicker. I'm just trying to be a little bit country. And so the process for me to go through that, it was work. Now, let's take a full-grown cow or an oxen or what have you and slaughter that, dress that, prepare the altar for that. You don't think there was some work involved there? There was some work. God didn't do it for them. It was their sacrifice to God. They did it. And it was a Sabbath day, so they had to do it twice. It was work, but yet they were blameless. The work of God took precedence over the law. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering." Sacrifice is important. Offering to the Lord is important. But more to God is His mercy. He knew one day he would be the ultimate sacrifice for all man, all the way back to Adam and Eve, to the last soul to be born. He's the ultimate sacrifice that covers, washes away all sin. Mercy is above the law. Mark chapter 2, 27-28, this is his account of it, and I'm not reading the whole account, but this one section that he had up in there. "And he said unto them, The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So Christ is our Sabbath, and we live in Him. He is our rest. That's what the purpose of the Sabbath was. It wasn't to be a burden as the Pharisees had made it to be. It was meant to be a day of rest. It didn't mean that you couldn't get up and do something. It was a day set aside for you to say, "Hey, I'm not going to go and plow the fields today. But I can still, what gives me rest kind of takes my mind off things for a little bit. My day-to-day responsibilities. Not that you can, having kids is work. According to the law, you can't have kids because they're 7 days a week, 24 hours. So there goes humanity. But Sabbath was made for man, and man, not the Sabbath for, or Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. We see that obviously. Man was created before the Sabbath. Then we do see that God rested on the seventh day as an example, but the law of the Sabbath wasn't given until later. Christ is love, not burden. If we read the first eight verses, I'm going to read a few more verses. And when he was departed thence, so after, this is after the Pharisees had already stopped him once, and he accused the disciple. They accused the disciples, and Jesus stood up for him. He goes on, and when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man with which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. So now they're trying to set him up. They've been following him, and they thought they had him. But now they're trying to set him up. And he said unto them, "What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out?" Now that's a rhetorical question. So he's been accused by the Pharisees, but he asks this rhetorical question to everybody who's present. Of course, when you're in a group and you ask a question that has an obvious right answer, everybody's going to say the right thing. Who wouldn't do this? Probably every hand would go up. Oh, I wouldn't do that. Oh, because everybody's seeing. But it being a rhetorical question in their heart, they knew, well, yeah, if I had a sheep and it fell in a pit, of course I'd go and get it out. They had to answer honestly in their heart. Thing with God is you can't lie to God, so don't try. Because he knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. You can't lie to him. And so in their heart of hearts, they knew the answer to that was, yes, I'd go get that sheep out of that pit. I would save its life. If for no other reason, I don't want to lose a meal. Maybe it was out of love. Farmers loved their sheep and whatnot. I would be a liar if I didn't tell you I didn't grow an attachment to some of the animals that I have. I've talked about the process of rabbits. Brooklyn has sat through meals and would only eat her vegetables because she grew an attachment to some of these rabbits, and she wouldn't eat them. But that's because she grew an attachment. And so no doubt these farmers would grow an attachment to their sheep, and they wouldn't leave it there just bleeding all day. They'd go get it. So Jesus takes that example, and he says, okay, let's compare it to a human. Let's compare it to someone made in the likeness of my image, in the image of God. How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. The Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. They couldn't speak to what he just said. No matter what, they brought at him time and time again. Last week I preached about how, so they took counsel here. I'm actually going backwards. Last week I preached, I think from like chapter 24, I think, somewhere around there, where they specifically tried to entrap him. Here in chapter 12, it says they went and took counsel against him, how they might destroy him. And while they did that, Jesus went, continued about his way. Verse 15 down says, "But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and charged them that they should not make him known, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." And so we find that Jesus here, still on the Sabbath day, he withdraws himself from the synagogue. The people follow him, and he continues to heal the people. There's a contrast between religion and following the Savior. We can have religion here at Welcome Baptist Church, and it will be a burden to try to live the Christian life for any other denomination out there. But if you follow the Savior, he's a comfort. He relieves the burden. He says, take on, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but take on my yoke. My burden is light. Jesus can handle it. He created everything with his spoken word. There is nothing he can't handle in your life that he can't help you with. He can't help you through. Towards the end of that passage, he says in verse 20, "A bruised reed shall he not break." That reed is an example of something that it a bruised reed. So it's kind of been maybe snapped, but the fibers of it are still all together. He said he won't break that. He's not going to just rip it out. That's an example of us as we're going through life. We're injured. We're hurt. We're going through the struggles of life. He said, I'm not going to break it. I'm not going to just take it and discard it. Because he's not a burden. He's a comfort. And so, what we find here, we find that religion is a burden. We find that Jesus is merciful. We also find that as a believer, we follow Christ's example. He continues on. He doesn't stop his ministry. His ministry was people. I was reading the commentator, and he pointed out that Jesus never, he preached, but he never preached in the synagogue. He read from the scriptures in the synagogue, but his ministry was the people. That's where his ministry was. The Pharisees wanted recognition. The Pharisees wanted to look good. The Pharisees wanted to wear the robes. They wanted to be called rabbi. And not that there's scripture where Jesus was called rabbi at times. But his ministry was the people. The ministry was the people. And that's what our ministry should be, the people. I look at the congregation today, I don't believe I see any visitors. So speaking to the people, our ministry should be the people of this community or where your specific house is. We should be ministering to people. But we can also be encouraged that although we are to live a separated life, nowhere in here does Jesus say that we're to just live free, loose, sinful lives. We do live to a higher standard. but we don't live under the burden of the law. And so the challenge today is, one, be encouraged that Jesus gives us mercy. He offers his grace. But also know that we are an extension of Christ here on earth as believers. And we have a mission to help the people. Jesus defended his disciples and continued on to help people. So, Andrew comes up to play the piano. If somebody is here that's not saved, like I said, living the Christian life, even at Welcome Baptist Church, is a burden. And if you're feeling that burden of trying to be a Christian when you're not, give up the burden. Lay it at the cross. Accept Christ's mercy. He said, we deserve hell. We deserve hell. But he gives us mercy. He said, you don't have to have hell. I didn't make it for you. He didn't create it for you. He created it for the devil and his angels, the Bible says. But when man turned away from God, he said, I can't look upon sin, and sin must be dealt with. So I challenge you today, if you've been living the quote Christian life, that burdensome life, bring that burden to the altar. Let Jesus take it. And Christian, let's get busy. We have work to do, whether it's on the Sabbath day or not. And so, I've been playing. If you need to get saved, come forward. If you just have something to pray about, come forward.